Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Last week, dear friends, we began this new series of sermons on the book of Ruth. The first message was on the first 6 verses of the first chapter under the theme, A Downward Spiral Stopped Short by Sovereign Grace. We noticed 3 points about Elimelech and Naomi leaving the promised land and moving to Moab. Namely, the wrong decision made by them, the downward path they pursued, and we ended with the message of God's mercy still shown. We pick it up now again from verse 6 of chapter 1, where God's mercy indeed was shown in giving hope for Naomi, with the report that the famine was over in Judah. Naomi had lost her husband and 2 sons in Moab, and now a widow with 2 widowed daughters-in-law with no offspring. Oh, she was at a point where hardly could things get worse. But she hears then of some encouraging news about her homeland and decides now to return there from Moab back to Bethlehem, Judah. Often it takes afflictions and trials to bring us to our senses. Mercifully, the Lord was working to bring Naomi back to Himself. The Lord would show her His tender loving kindness for Naomi still. Indeed, as we shall see, in ways she never could have imagined and certainly never ever deserved. Think now then of Naomi heading back to Judah. We are told her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, go with her. At least they both join her for the first part of the journey. There obviously was a real love bond between these 3 women. They went through so much together. Can you imagine these 3 women traveling together on the road from Moab to Bethlehem in Judah? The text wants us to hear their conversation. Much of the story of the book of Ruth is told in letting us hear the dialogue of different people. In the discussions now between these 3 women, what we want to focus on this time is the 3 viewpoints that come to the foreground. This sermon very simply follows the fact that we are told in our text passage about 3 women, and let us notice each of their outlooks on life. More particularly, let us seek to hear God's gospel message with each outlook that comes to the foreground. With Orpah, we see a most fatal outlook on life come out. With Ruth, a blessed, wonderful outlook on life is displayed. And with Naomi, we see a very troubled outlook on life brought forward. I invite you to study these outlooks, viewpoints on life, and to see what God's Word would teach us in each case. What does God's Gospel Word have to say about the tragic outlook of Orpah, the thrilling outlook of Ruth, and the troubled outlook of Naomi? Oh, I pray we all will have ears to hear what our text passage instructs. The 3 women are on their way, and we are told at a certain point, presumably near the beginning of their journey, Naomi speaks with her daughter-in-laws, urging them to go back to Moab. Of course she enjoyed their company, but Naomi was thinking ahead and concluded what future would there be for Orpah and Ruth in Israel. They each were young enough to marry again, but who would marry them from the Israelites? Let them look for a husband again among the Moabites, their own people. Coming with her, too, would mean experiencing poverty and possibly non-acceptance as those coming from heathen Moab. And Naomi could not see any future for them with them returning with her to Judah. So, making her case and speaking a word of what we may believe was a sincere, well-meant blessing upon them, even including the Lord's favor, we are told in verse 9 and 10 of chapter 1 of Ruth, Naomi then kissed her daughters-in-law, no doubt thinking the painful, necessary parting now would take place. But it doesn't. There is lots of weeping and hugging, the chapter tells us, but with that, the expressed heart intention of both Orpah and Ruth, that they will not leave Naomi, and each one both will accompany her to be with her own people now in Judah. But, as we read in verses 11 to 13, this leads to still more passionate urging from Naomi to think through the issues carefully and clearly, and not just to be emotional in their decision now. Naomi then, in that context, explains most clearly that she herself cannot give them another husband. And what Naomi emphasizes is there just can't be any real future for them should they go along with her to Judah. She hammers home that point in a way that is embarrassing to us even, thinking of her as a child of the Lord. What kind of a witness was Naomi being for her Moabite daughters-in-law here? Naomi speaks of God as one who has dealt harshly with her, and she focuses on that, not really speaking well of God at all. We will come back to that later, but obviously Naomi here was being a very poor witness indeed. But now let's come to Orpah's decision. Orpah, we read in verse 14, came to the conclusion, sadly, that Naomi was right, and she should return to Moab. And we read she now kissed her mother-in-law, and with much weeping, yes, she parted company with her, returning to Moab, for a future there with her own people and her old ways and in the false religion of Moab. But, we are told, Ruth did not follow her, but clave to Naomi. Again, something we will come back to in a moment. Let's first reflect on Orpah's decision. Her outlook in life became, I need to make the most of my life here and now, after all. I need to pursue what brings happiness to me and fulfillment in my life. And what works best for me, that is what I must follow. She was persuaded that fulfillment in life would come for her if she just did what looked to be the best for her, and that she could find that on her own without God, without the God of the Israelites as her guide and guard, and just continuing on with the heathen religion and ways of the Moabites. And very tragically, we hear no more ever of Orpah, do we? Her decision to go back to the world and to find life's treasures and pleasures and security for herself from there, while it seemed to make so much sense, humanly speaking, yet scripturally speaking, it was fatal, marking the beginning of the end for her. Orpah, we can say, fell for the deception of the devil and of this world. The deception that life can be found without God Jehovah as our God and Savior. God's teaching about Orpah's viewpoint is that her viewpoint is that of the broad way that leads to destruction. As others put it, quote, Orpah is a picture of people who are near to believing in the true God and yet are so far from it. You can get very close to the kingdom of God and still not enter in. It's possible for a person to show lots of emotion and determination and yet, when it comes down to it, never to do the will of God. Orpah went back to her idols and back to darkness. Who now remembers Orpah? She rejected the road to emptiness, but at the same time unknowingly turned aside from the one road that could have led her to a life of lasting significance and meaning and fullness. The world's wise choice to avoid emptiness leads in the end to a different kind of oblivion. Orpah missed the pearl of great price. She failed to find friendship with Israel's God, the only God that there is. Orpah chooses the familiar, the temporal, and the visible. Who knows if there's anything more anyway? She opts for this world's wisdom and turns away from the wisdom of God. End of quote. What does God's word say about Orpah's viewpoint and outlook, dear friends? It is the pathway to eternal gloom and doom. The Lord calls all people to turn from sin in repentance and to call upon Him and to follow Him as only Savior and Lord for us. God's word, we could say, laments Orpah's outlook and urges us all not to go that way. Alas, wrote one commentator, how many amiable, tender-hearted, and affectionate Orpahs there are among our friends and kindred and acquaintance. How that should sadden us, and how it should urge us, dear friends, to seek to be a light to them, not like Naomi was, but urging others to come with us and to join with us in ever seeking and serving the Lord, the one true God, as revealed in the Bible and as made known to us in Christ Jesus. Are you, dear friend, making Orpah's choice in life your choice? I urge you to reconsider your ways if that be the case. For what hope can there be for you making Orpah's choice in life? None whatsoever. Not for this life even, and certainly not for the eternal world after this life. Orpah's choice led her to hell, to put it bluntly and truthfully. And therefore I pray also no one listening now will make Orpah's choice in life your choice too. You won't, will you? Oh, also through this gospel message now, as a certain song puts it, Jesus is tenderly calling you home. Calling today. Why, from the sunshine of love, will you roam further and further away? God forbid that would be the case for anyone listening now. For consider to our next point, the gospel teaching with Ruth's gracious resolve. Orpah's tragic choice sets the background to Scripture's highlighting the wonderful gracious resolve of Ruth as the right way and the way of true and everlasting blessing indeed, comparatively. And here we come also now to the second viewpoint or outlook expressed in this chapter of God's Word, Ruth 1. While Orpah chose to leave, we read, but Ruth clave unto Naomi. The word clave is the same word as found in Genesis 2 verse 24, speaking about a man clinging to his wife. The point is, Ruth will not leave Naomi, but she is steadfastly committed to her in the sense of truly attached to her and glued even to her and her religion and her people. And no matter what, Ruth will not leave Naomi. When in verse 15 Naomi speaks to her to follow after her sister-in-law Orpah, then in response we have that most beautiful and well-known answer of Ruth, where she says to her mother-in-law, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. These words of Ruth are the most well known of the whole book. And people have taken Ruth's testimony here and framed it and hung it on a wall. These words are also often quoted at wedding ceremonies. They are words to be prized, for here we find a crescendo of commitment to the Lord and His people that is marvelous indeed. As one put it, each of Ruth's statements ratchets up the level of her commitment a notch higher. Ruth, we see here, unreservedly, totally, with no regrets and hearty resolve, turns her back on Moab and this world and pursues after God and His cause and kingdom. Her speech, full of covenantal language, divides into three parts, with the first part being a plea to her mother-in-law not to try to persuade her to leave. For she was changed in her heart, and she would not and could not leave Naomi. Then follows a threefold declaration of commitment to Naomi, and to her God, and to her people. And Ruth ends her speech with an oath, calling upon the Lord as a witness of her pledge. Ruth's outlook was that only in seeking and serving the God of Naomi and his people was there hope in life and promise for the future. Ruth would come to Judah as an outsider, about as welcome in Bethlehem as a ham sandwich in a Jewish restaurant, as one put it. And she was going to Judah empty and poor, just like Naomi, but she knew only in the Lord's ways could she truly find blessing and be a blessing. God obviously touched her heart and converted her. That her testimony was a confession of true faith is also confirmed by her deeds, and by what we are told Boaz says of her in chapter 2, verse 12, a verse that some say is key to the whole book. Boaz says to Ruth, we read in chapter 2, verse 12, the Lord recompense your work and a full reward be given you of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you are come to trust. Ruth's viewpoint, you see, of faith results in an astonishing resolve of surrender and self-sacrifice to Naomi and the God and people of Naomi. We are told, after Ruth's testimony, Naomi no longer spoke about that matter, for she saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her. Isn't this what true Christian confession and commitment is all about, dear friends? Being steadfastly minded in seeking and serving the Lord, whatever the challenges and whatever the costs. Is that what you are to, by the grace of God, dear friends? Heartily and steadfastly minded to seek and serve the Lord? And is that what you want always to be true of you by His grace? Ruth was determined, strong and firm, and not to be negotiated with in her resolve to seek and serve the Lord. Here we see the work of the Lord, even in spite of the poor and twisted witness of Naomi. Ruth was converted from the world to the Lord, from sin to the Savior, from darkness to light, from bondage to liberty, from despair to hope. Again, let us think now not only of Ruth's wonderful blessed resolve here, but especially of God's teaching concerning her viewpoint and with her godly commitment. How does the Bible and the one true God of the Bible regard Ruth's testimony and choice? How do the Scriptures speak of it? Is it not true all Scripture teaches Ruth's viewpoint and way is the right way? All Scripture urges, in fact, all mankind to follow after the Lord and His people and gospel cause, as Ruth did, and not to turn away from it as Orpah did. Ruth's choice is highlighted as the wise response as opposed to the way of the foolish. All Scripture declares Ruth's resolve and viewpoint is the one of true blessing, and any other response results just in being left under a curse and remaining comfortless in the long run and forevermore. Ruth's viewpoint leads to life, even fullness of life and eternal life, while Orpah's choice results in doom, death, and destruction. We know in the book of Ruth itself how her godly viewpoint and resolve brought her fulfillment beyond all imagination and description, while Orpah's choice brought her emptiness and ultimately eternal anguish. What is the reason Ruth's choice and outlook give so much hope and comfort and peace and joy and fulfillment? Well, it is clear also from the book of Ruth, in the way of faith's outlook, you meet with the Messiah, the Savior of sinners. In God's ways, following after Him and His promises to His people, we are led to Jesus Christ. And what is found in and with Him that cannot be found anywhere else, and that we each so desperately need? You know the answer to that question, don't you? With Jesus Christ, you find salvation from sin, that is, complete forgiveness of all your wrongdoings in thought, word, and deed. And with Christ the Savior, trusting in Him, you find that perfect everlasting righteousness before God that you and I need for our acceptance with Him. With Christ the Savior, too, you find the gift of eternal life. How much Ruth understood of all this, we are not sure, it being still the Old Testament times. But this she knew following Naomi and her people and their God. She was turning to the one true God and the Lord who is full of gospel promises and totally reliable as only Savior God for us. And Ruth was not disappointed. Never once did she regret it, her resolve by God's grace ever to seek and serve the Lord. The Scriptures tell us how she was so blessed in God's ways. Ruth was able to provide for her mother-in-law in Bethlehem, and she was given a godly husband, and she ultimately became a mother, indeed a mother of a child who would be the grandfather of David, and thus an ancestor also to Christ Jesus the Savior, come in the flesh in the fullness of time. Oh, Ruth found a pearl of great price, turning to the Lord and staying the course in His ways. And not only was she so blessed herself, but in and with the Lord as her God, she became such a blessing to others as well. What a jewel she became for Naomi just, and what a spark of new life in the Bethlehem society. So as we look at Ruth's choice and outlook by God's grace, and hear also how Scripture so highlights that choice as the right choice, most blessed indeed, is not the application that such should be all our choice and steadfast resolve to? Dear friends, the honest reality is, whatever we, you and I, put ahead of God and His glory and His kingdom, that ends up derailing us and defiling us and deforming us and destroying us if we don't turn back to God. On the other hand, if we, you and I, like Ruth, heartily resolve by God's grace to give ourselves over to God triune and His word, and like her, to have God's people and His church and kingdom be our first priority, then how blessed and what a blessing we also will be, without doubt. Dear friends, doesn't Ruth chapter 1 call you and me in this holy way? Doesn't it urge and encourage us all not to make Orpah's choice, no, but to follow the example of Ruth here by God's grace? Oh, let the gospel way be what influences and excites you above all, directing you in everything, and you won't live a wasted life, but a life most worthwhile and fruitful beyond words, and it could be of multi-generational impact, as was also the case, certainly, with Ruth. Doesn't the third outlook and viewpoint in this first chapter of Ruth, that of Naomi now, also emphasize all the more the importance of Ruth's viewpoint and having it by God's grace and keeping it uppermost in all our lives also by God's grace? What was Naomi's outlook and viewpoint, you ask? We are told over and over about her being a broken and struggling believer. Naomi mentions repeatedly that God dealt very bitterly against her, and she comes across mostly as a despondent, crusty, thankless, troubled old woman. While Naomi was a repentant believer when turning back to Judah, yet she was a very poor witness of being a believer in the one true God. It is true that many trials and hard knocks in life can make a person more numb about God than on fire for God. But the text passage itself shows how mistaken Naomi was in her outlook. She fell into the error of focusing all on her trials and troubles rather than looking up to God, the Lord, and thinking of His powers and His loving kindness for those in need who appeal to Him. We could say more about this all, this mistaken, bitter viewpoint, surely, of Naomi. But again, what I want to focus on is what God's Word teaches and instructs us with having an attitude and outlook of Naomi. And God teaches, surely, Naomi's viewpoint was seriously mistaken and twisted, and it was not God-honoring and made Naomi a very poor witness, in fact, a witness against the gospel cause even. But notice this, how in spite of her viewpoint, yet amazingly, God still used Naomi in His service. And the Lord ministers to her still, and wonderfully too, He blesses her so exceedingly abundantly above all that she could ask or think and what she ever deserved. Isn't it striking and encouraging to us all that even though at that time Naomi was overcome with negativity and wasn't, it seems, looking out for Ruth's spiritual interests, and nonetheless, God was still able to use her, in spite of her attitude, as a means to draw Ruth to Himself still. What reasons to say, thankfully, as one put it, God's mission to rescue sinners is not limited by our flaws, failings, and foibles. God will call to Himself those whom He chooses, sometimes through the most bizarre messengers and unlikely combination of circumstances. It is His work from beginning to end. The salvation of sinners is His sovereign work. Praise God, it is so. From Naomi's outlook, we learn then, in the way of the Lord, never go by how you feel or the circumstances of life you might be in. But remember, those whom the Lord loves, He chastises. And while many are the afflictions of the righteous, yet as Psalm 34 declares, the Lord delivers His people out of them all, and none shall be desolate who trust in Him. The Lord, by His word, says to His struggling people, pained with so many disappointments in life, as expressed in a Psalter song based on Psalm 42. Why, O my soul, art thou cast down within me? Why art thou so troubled and oppressed with grief? Hope thou in God, the God of thy salvation. Hope, and thy God will send relief. Indeed, as also stated in another Psalter song based on Psalm 130, hope in the Lord, ye waiting saints, and He will well provide. For mercy and redemption, full and free, with Him abide. From sin and evil, mighty though they seem, His arm almighty will His saints redeem. Yes, thus saith the Lord, and so proves also the whole book of Ruth in the events that would follow. Not only for Ruth, but also for Naomi. The ultimate gospel message is, God came in His holy fury and righteous judgment against His own dear Son, Jesus Christ, when as sin-bearer and as Savior of sinners, He came to this earth to be the mediator for us. All who trust and obey the Lord Jesus Christ never will experience the Lord against you, but always for you, and making all things, in fact, work together for your good too, by His grace and mercy and love. The gospel promises hope and comfort for poor and needy sinners who look to the Savior. And Ruth 1 strikingly ends in so much hope, saying in a last phrase, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. As we shall see next time, God willing, those are such gospel-rich words, making clear you don't want Orpah's viewpoint ever. And Naomi's viewpoint was so mistaken, surely. But Ruth's viewpoint and outlook, how full of promise of blessing it was, and still is, and forever will be. So what is your viewpoint? Is it like that which Ruth expressed to Naomi? Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Ruth's viewpoint here, that the wise way, the gospel way. Is it your way? Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T22R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T22R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.